It's 12 minutes before 4 o'clock. I'm Leora Zeitlin. It's my pleasure to welcome into our studios for the first time, I believe, Tom Wildman, and Dr. Bill Clark is just about to come in. Coming in as we speak. Hey there. To talk about this weekend's concerts, let's talk about the Mesilla Valley Concert Band. Let's start with trombones. Tom Wildman, trombone player in the Mesilla Valley Concert Band. We've got a special, first of all, the concert is this Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Atkinson Recital Hall, and there's a special trombone piece that I understand you have some involvement with, and I want to hear more about the trombone section anyway. Go ahead.
Okay. That trombone section is absolutely stellar. We have, I believe, 9 in there now. Is that right, Tom?
I think so.
And most of them are pro-level players, and they really play well. And Tom did this. He adapted this for a concert band last year. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I heard a arrangement of 76 trombones done by the London Trombone. Well, it was on the album London Trombone Sound from the Kala Press, and I loved the sound of it so much. It was originally done with 16 trombones, and I thought with the colors of a concert band it could even be expanded and still feature the trombone section.
Not only is it expanded, in the music room we call it, he blew it up so 100 people could do it instead of 16. And so it's a cliche, but every great trombone lick is in this piece. He just sneaks them in there from Bolero and from Jaws and all of those great
sentimental mood.
Yes. Sentimental, yeah. I'm getting sentimental over you. All of those are in there.
So you made this arrangement.
Well, Eric Kreese was the original arranger for the trombones album.
But you did it for the
I adapted it for the concert band.
So tell us, Tom Wildman, tell us a little bit about your background as a trombonist and as an arranger or composer.
All of my arranging adapting has been kind of fly by the seat of my pants. I don't have any formal training in it. I wanted to attend the a composition program here at NMSU, but when I finally got a chance to actually attend one, it seemed like there isn't one here anymore.
That is true.
And so I've had to do it pretty much by just listening, which as a trombonist you get to do a lot of in transcriptions of orchestral work, and just practicing and doing kind of listening when I put it in the finale, and then listening what comes out of it to see if it sounds good.
And Tom's a bass trombone player. He plays as well as anybody I've ever heard. And so he just has a really good ear, and he knows what he wants and knows how to get it and knows what kind of sounds sound right. And so he's pretty much a natural at this. He's done a thing of someone to watch over me. A Gershwin piece that is going to be stunning. We aren't ready for it yet. It'll be next concert, but it's really, really nice.
And Tom, are you a professional musician, or is this your hobby? Or both?
To be professional, I imagine you'd have to be paid to do it.
Not always.
I'm an amateur who performs quite a bit. I very rarely do I get paid to do any performing, but I'm in several local groups that perform on a regular basis.
Okay, band and jazz?
I'm in a big band on the Rio Grande, the concert band, of course, and I'm in a quartet, a trombone quartet, and mostly we play at like Good Samaritan and Golden Mesa, and that's our general venue that we play at.
Oh, I'd love to talk to you more about that sometime, because we have a CD of some trombone quartet music that goes back to the first Moravian immigrants to the United States who would have these trombone choirs. And that's how I learned about trombone quartet music, going way back, a couple hundred years, actually. Pretty interesting.
A lot of great composers did things based on those Moravian pieces that they brought over here.
Yeah.
You weren't by yourself.
Yeah, really interesting. All right, so the concert is at 3 o'clock. We're going to have some trombone features, but there's other music on the program, including some transcriptions. And Tchaikovsky and Verdi and Jules Massenet. Tell us a little bit, Dr. Bill Clark, as the conductor, a little bit about that music.
Okay. The pieces are, in general, somewhat similar in harmonies because they're all either early Romantic to late Romantic, with the Massenet piece being just absolutely stunning. It has it has melodies that are unforgettable. He's one of the great melody writers.
Yeah, we heard earlier, we had a request for the meditation from Thais, which is so famous, but this is Phaedra. This is a totally different opera and not as well, not as famous.
No, and I ordered this piece from probably the largest distributor of wind music in the United States. And when I ordered the piece, I know what the guy that runs it very well, I've known him for many years, said, "Tom, I want to get the Massenet piece, the Phaedra." And he said, "I'll have to look that one up. I don't know that one." And so you are exactly right. It's not a well-known piece because it's very, very difficult. It starts in the key, I believe it's the key of C-flat, doesn't it?
I think so.
Or G-flat or C-flat.
It's not easy.
And it gets hard from there. And it's really a very demanding piece.
Is it like a suite of some of the arias?
No, yes and no. It has three melodies, and they're really sketch melodies. They're only motives, actually. He called a melody. Then he forms melodies out of them, and he does a fugue on it. He does a really fast part. The fast music reminds you a lot of Tchaikovsky, just the way they score. But it's put together so in such an ingenious way. It's one of my favorite pieces. And then the Tchaikovsky, we're doing the Finale of the Fourth, which is one that's played by everybody, and or it's tried. And we've done it a couple of times before, but for this first concert, we have four rehearsals, and we needed something that was vaguely familiar anyway.
Well, so that's, you know, a symphony that's transcribed for concert band. So that's an interesting crossover when you're used to having that string sound and that gets taken up by all these other wonderful wind instruments.
It is, and there are only specific areas of composers that fit the wind band. And that period of the Romantic period is one of them. And the other one, surprising enough, is many, many years previous to that, is J.S. Bach. His music fits the wind band beautifully because it was written for a wind instrument.
Yeah, well, that's right. Organ, mm-hmm. which is a wind instrument, right. Or sometimes those brass sounds.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, so Jules Massenet. Also, there's another opera transcription by Verdi.
Yeah. La Forza del Destino. And it's I'm sure I said that in brilliant Arkansas, but that's the way I pronounce it, the Force of Destiny, and it is really a tremendous piece, and it's based on, it opens with six knocks on the door, but two times, three times each, and that comes back, and it's fate knocking on the door, and it's a pretty soupy type story, but it's really, really good music. It's typical Verdi.
Those, you know, Beethoven, Tchaikovsky, Verdi, they all had those knocks on the door, that fate
always.
Motif. That comes through music
always.
A lot. Tom, how long have you been playing with the Machiavelli Concert Band?
Well, except for a little break of about 7 years when I was out of town, I guess total about 25, something like that. It's been quite a while.
Are you from here in Las Cruces?
My dad retired here, so yeah, vaguely. I mean, he was in the military, so, you know, I don't really have a hometown, but we were here as long as we were anywhere, so.
Wow, so you're a veteran. You're a veteran of the Machiavelli Concert Band. That's
I'd like to think so, yeah.
That's wonderful, because it's been around a long time and making such great music. All right, before we finish up, let's talk a little bit about The Wizard of Oz, because you've got some music from Hal Arlen also.
Jim Barnes from University of Kansas, a good friend of mine, he did this piece about 7 or 8 years ago. He did it for someone specifically, and I don't know who. It's not listed on the score. But he just is such a good scorer, and he just took some of it. Doesn't even fit together. Do you think, Tom? I mean, that he took the,
it's a little disjointed.
Yeah, the witch is dead, and some of those dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, and all those things. And then, but he sandwiches that with Somewhere with a Rainbow in a glorious city.
Well, Nina Singleton, one of your musicians, also mentioned that it wasn't originally supposed to be in The Wizard of Oz, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. They thought it was too slow. And
exactly. They didn't think it would be a seller, you know. And sure enough, that's what everybody knows.
That's what everybody knows. It went on to get the best song at the Academy Awards and so forth. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, thank you both for coming in, Dr. Bill Clark. I'm sure we'll be seeing you a number of times. Oh, and congratulations, just recent winner of the Governor's Award for the Arts. Well deserved.
Well, thank you so much. But, you know, you had a lot to do with that, with everything, and I owe a lot of people a lot for that.
Well, it was well deserved by you. And thank you, Tom Wildman, coming in, trombone player with the Mesilla Valley Concert Band. The concert is Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Atkinson Recital Hall, and I look forward to it. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.